As the days of July and now the first week of August have passed, I've rewritten this sermon 4 times in the wake of the shootings and violence that have shaken me to my core. In my first sermon, I had so many ideas that finally I recognized I had several sermons about covenants packed into one. And I didn't know that Unitarian Universalist covenants could be so fascinating, but they are. My second sermon on covenants was more lighthearted, and I had some good information there, too. Then we had 3 shootings in Gilroy, California, El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, all within a few days of each other. I wrote words in my third version of this sermon that lambasted the current political administration and called for a renewal on the ban of assault weapons. While these things are still important to me, I found I was writing a diatribe, not a sermon, in that version. One thing we've all shared in the wake of the recent violence is the barrage of analysis and commentary about causes and suggestions for next steps. These commentaries have also attempted to explain why we as a country seem paralyzed to take any real action to prevent these deaths. Then a 4th rampage hit the news this week. This time, a man killed 4 people and attacked others with a machete-style knife in the town where I grew up, in Garden Grove. This is my 4th sermon on covenants. I return more closely to the basic meaning of covenants in our UU lives. I have to ask, what are these agreements we make as citizens and residents of our country that our public servants make to us, that we make to each other as Unitarian Universalists, and that we make to each other as families? I do know that our words matter and that our actions that flow from those words matter. I know I'm not alone in being a person who grew up in a home where a basic covenant between my parents was broken. I know firsthand within families and by extension the larger communities the damage and pain that broken covenants can create and the problems they leave in their wake, even within a smaller sociological unit like the family. While the president and others might label the most recent shootings the acts of a single, deranged individual, as a person of conscience, I have to challenge that statement. My understanding while living out our 7th principle is that we are all part of the interconnected web of existence. We are all affected by these deaths. This violence was perpetrated by people targeting an entire spectrum of our population, from preschoolers to adults. The good news is, if there is any, that we can use these terrible times as a true wake-up call to step up and make real change for the public good. There's no time to lose. This week, we lost our neighbors in Garden Grove, Pascal, Rioja, Lorenzo, Robert Parker, Helmut Halbrich, and Gerardo Fresnares Beltran. Through the traditional media, through social media, through podcasts and the evening news, we hear questions and answers about why this type of violence happens and why right now. In a polarized nation, there are claims coming at us from the left, the right, and even some from the center politically about what actions are to come next and how to stop the deaths occurring on our doorsteps across the U.S. Our job as part of the larger community is to sort through what we know and to thoughtfully move toward right action, to assemble facts and, as you used, to use our heads and our hearts to bet the best of our abilities to help make this a better world. It is in our collective DNA to continue with the political will to fight for our UU and our personal values to the best of our limited knowledge and resources. We as human beings in the larger world, of course, create covenants, these two-way promises, A covenant is an agreement between two parties where both agree on an exchange of shared and reciprocal works, actions, and or behaviors. We talk about marriage vows, but exchange vows are really a covenant, an agreement between two or more parties. UUCLB has several covenants that have been crafted and spoken by members over the years. We Unitarian Universalists make promises. We define ourselves as a covenantal faith tradition. That means we make very conscious promises, an exchange of vows to each other, two-way transactions as congregants, with our ministers, with the world we engage in, and in so many ways. And we're very intentional about this. Our words to each other and those around us matter. Our actions matter. On the third Sundays of the month, when we welcome in our new members, we say the words of our covenant of right relations together. We say the following. We covenant to build a religious community guided by respect and sustained by our principles. We want to listen appreciatively, speak with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, and assume good intentions. We endeavor to communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately, particularly when we are in conflict. When we hurt one another, we will try to forgive, make amends, and reconnect in a spirit of right relationship. In celebration of the common purpose that unites us, we will do our best to abide by this covenant. These words matter to me when I say them with you and when I share them with our new members. If you look up other UU congregations, you can find many of their common covenants on their websites. UU covenants have a long history, and our roots are deep in the Western tradition and the Judeo-Christian religions. The Greeks and Romans made offerings to the gods and performed rituals that allowed humans to be in right relation with deity and exchange of pious acts and offerings for the favors of the gods. Public religious acts were considered an important part of life, required to maintain favor with the gods and the local spirits. The ancient Jews made covenants with their God and were often in trouble because they wouldn't or couldn't follow the covenant they had agreed upon with their deity. Spoiler alert for those who want to read the Hebrew scriptures, exiles and floods followed the disobedient acts. The early Christian and then the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches required that members play an active role in their faith, but in a different way. The seven Roman Catholic sacraments that each person, believer, is expected to participate in include baptism, confirmation, Eucharist or the eating of the ritual meal associated with Christ, penance, or the confession and absolution of sins committed, the anointing of the sick, marriage, and for some, participation in holy orders, the activities of professional clergy and lay leaders. These are two-way transactions in the sense that the humans taking actions keep, if you take the action, it keeps you in right relation with God. So you're in a way, it's a vow, but it's also a covenant in some ways. Statements of faith are required in many Christian faith traditions, and I know many of us grew up in other traditions. We had a statement of faith in my church. Many of our European religious ancestors held to the Apostles' Creed for hundreds of years, some denominations for over 1,000 years. The first line of the Apostles' Creed says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried." Religious perspectives began to change for some European Christians, however, in the 1600s. The English Puritans and Pilgrims began creating covenants with each other around how they should govern their churches and their larger communities. Of course, they considered this to be divinely inspired and direct, instructions from God, but they were the active agents. Respect for the democratic process, our fifth principle, had begun to evolve. Like us, these were not perfect people, nor did they live in perfect times. To set up the policy for economic exploitation in the Americas, Pope Alexander VI in 1493 created the Document of Discovery, which told those who had the resources and the means that any lands not inhabited by Christians were up for grabs in the New World, or what they called the New World. Under a religious pretext, colonization of the Americas was unleashed, arranged so that the Catholic faith and the Christian religion be exalted and be everywhere increased and spread, that the health of souls be cared for, and that the barbarous nations be overthrown and brought to the faith itself. That's a direct quote from the Document of Discovery. This was the basis of all European claims in the Americas and served as the primary foundation for the United States' Western expansion. 140 years after the Doctrine of Discovery was issued, when the English Puritans and the Pilgrims arrived in North America ready to create their colonies, women were not allowed to teach, and uppity women were not tolerated. Did I get an A woman? No. Pilgrim Anne Hutchinson was excommunicated and banished in 1637 from the Massachusetts Bay Colony after daring to teach classes and express her own views on the scriptures. Native Americans were discounted and seen as impediments to the civilizing force of the European colonists, as stated by the Doctrine of Discovery. Have we made any advances at all as human beings in our compassionate behavior toward each other? In his book, The Better Angels, I have to stop sighing, it's like, oh my God. In his book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, psychologist and humanist Steven Pinker tells us that yes, through reason, legislation, and hard work, human beings are progressively making this a better world. He cites one example, the almost contemporary understanding and agreement now that slavery is not a good thing. It's not right. While slavery still exists, most societies do not formally allow slavery, and there are a lot of people working to end human trafficking and exploitation around the globe. Pinker provides us with a few examples of human behavior where we can find some hope. Today, UUism is a living tradition, a faith that creates covenants between people, created, updated, and changed as needed. Being part of a constantly changing, breathing, living tradition like Unitarian Universalism is a responsibility. It means we need to keep watch so that we can continue to work on making the world a better place and reflecting on our own and our group values and actions. I now wonder what it would have been like if my family had joined the UU Church when I was a child. The broken covenant in our family was my father's promise to convert to my mother's religion after they were married. My father, a lapsed Methodist, never did. Sundays became not a day of rest, but a day of tension and unhappiness in our family. I did not know until just a few years ago that my dad had made that promise to convert. It explained a great deal about my family. We were a family that did not speak directly about a whole lot of things. Communication was necessarily convoluted and complex. I can now understand my mother's constant frustration and disappointment around this core aspect of our family life. I believe that in the United States, there is a covenant between the citizens of our country and its leaders. The preamble to the Constitution of the United States says that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. While these words did not originally extend to all people of the United States, we're working on it. Still are. Much of the common good is still directed at the very wealthy 1%. Of the many articles and editorials I have read, one informational piece spoke deeply to me as a citizen and as a Unitarian Universalist. I'd like to share it. Jillian Peterson and James Densley are the founders of The Violence Project. This nonprofit organization collects and analyzes the data on mass shootings, which have taken place over the last decades. They've identified 4 commonalities among those who perpetrate mass shootings. The recent editorial in the LA Times, some people have probably read it, tell us that after studying this huge amount of data, they found that most of these shooters have 4 things in common. 1, they have experienced violence themselves as children or youth. 2, they've recently had a trigger event, maybe a rejection, romantic, or a job loss or something. 3, they've studied the actions of others who've carried out a similar plan. And 4, they have the means to take action. So these folks at the Violence Project have several suggestions for both law enforcement, their advisors to law enforcement, and for all of us to help curtail the number of tragedies. They ask us to, as a society, be more proactive with violence prevention in schools, colleges, churches, and in the workplace. To reach out, not with punitive measures, but with resources and long-term intervention to those with mental health concerns. My only hesitation on this one is that many of us are not trained in that. I think this would need to be thoughtfully and carefully done. Otherwise, we could be a danger to that person, or there could be danger to ourselves. So I would urge caution. They ask that we stay alert to the needs of those who experience trauma in early life. And this is where I believe we as UUs can do more of what we already do. Those early exposures to violence need to be addressed when they happen, with ready access to social services and high-quality, affordable mental health treatment in the community. School counselors and social workers, employee wellness programs, projects that teach resilience and social-emotional learning can help decrease the stigma around mental illness and promote the social and emotional success of everyone. Peterson and Densley ask us to not simply rehearse for the inevitable, but use reliable, known information to create effective prevention strategies. We UUs are a proactive people. Our covenants extend beyond the walls of any church building. We live not only our 7 principles, but the UUs I know strive to live those words of the United States Constitution to promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. If we can uphold the covenant asked of us in the preamble to the Constitution to promote for the welfare of not only those of us living today, but for the people who come after us, we can also hold the president and our public servants who have sworn publicly to uphold the Constitution of the United States to do their part to promote our welfare and the welfare of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We have a covenant. The story of the broken covenant, religious covenant in my own family has a kind of ending. My brothers and sisters and I all ended up as adults converting to other faith traditions. Not one of us remained a member of the Mormon Church. If you know the practices of the Latter-day Saints, you might know they practice baptism for the dead. After your death, a proxy, a stand-in person, will go through a full immersion baptism in your name. My mother had this done for my father after he died. At first, I was furious, because I knew in life he did not want to join the church. Then I found out he had backed out of his promise to join. In addition, right before my dad died, my fundamentalist Christian brother flew in and asked my dad to accept Jesus as his personal savior on his deathbed. knowing my dad, for all his faults, did have a great sense of humor. Wherever he is probably laughing and saying he has at least two more bases covered in the afterlife now, in addition to his Methodist baptism. On the very serious issue of broken covenants between we the people and our civic servants, I call on us, as a people of the covenant, to keep doing the work we do, to safeguard the covenants we have, and to watch over our behavior towards each other within our Unitarian Universalist world. We need to take care of each other. Deep compassion matters. Justice matters. Our words and actions matter. We matter. Amen and blessed be. Thank you.